Senate Resources will come to order. We have an attendance, Senator Zoff, Senator Donnelly, and Senator Frank, and the chairman, Senator Miller. The first item we're going to take up today is Senate Bill 322, an act repealing the limitation on delays imposed on oil and gas lease sales under the Alaska Lands Act. With that, Mr. Easton, if you would start it off.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Senate Bill 322 is, in our view, a very simple but very important amendment. It would remove a provision that is currently in the statute at AS 3805-180C, which requires that when the department schedules a sale on its five-year schedule, that we have to hold that sale within 90 days of the quarter in which the sale is originally scheduled. Otherwise, if for whatever reason we don't do that, we lose the opportunity to conduct the sale without going back and putting the sale on the five-year schedule for a minimum of 2 years. We have found in experience, as we look back, this amendment was done, I believe, in 1978, if my memory is correct. And at that time, the world was a much simpler place. There were not the vast number of laws and regulations that overlap, which we have to make sure that we're in compliance with. And if you overlay on top of that the requirements for or the possibilities of appeals and litigation, the likelihood is that sales often will need to be delayed just to avoid any potential complication with overlapping regulation and laws. It's a much more complex time today than it was when this provision made its way into statute. But more recently, we found another very important reason why we think it's time for this provision to be amended and deleted from the statute. As you well know, Sale 78 in Cook Inlet was a very controversial sale. It subsequently was enjoined by the court, and last night the Supreme Court noticed that they will not hear our appeal of that decision. One of the things that we've heard and you've heard through much of the testimony is that the department should have spent more time talking about that sale and working with the public. In fact, our ability to continue to talk with the public was stalled and forestalled by this very provision. We delayed that sale once in order to allow more time, but we simply could not delay it any further because of this provision in statute. And so the result is that we found ourselves wanting to talk more, but simply being unable to without losing the opportunity to hold the sale. We believe that that doesn't serve the public's interest. We believe that it doesn't serve the state's interest at large. And we would urge the committee to look favorable on the proposal to delete this from the statute.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you, Mr. Easton. With that, we will go to Anchorage. We have four people signed up in Anchorage to testify on this. First person in Anchorage, please. If you'd state your name for the record and if you're representing any group.
Make them speak one at a time.
No one on the oil and gas bill. Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to testify on 322? Senator Little.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just briefly, I'll state that I'm in favor of this bill. I am a little bit concerned about this bill's implications as it relates to Senate Bill 308, but we did see some difficulties, actually many difficulties, with Lease Sale 78 in our region, wherein the commissioner was, because this provision was in place, was not able to hold additional public hearings, even though there were several requests for additional public hearings after the public comment period had, by statute, closed. So this would allow some flexibility that I think is needed. I would mention that there are provisions in a bill that I introduced which would give the commissioner the same sort of flexibility where public hearings are concerned, and it also implements some other provisions of the ombudsman's recommendations. But I'm supportive of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Little. Any questions? Thank you. Wishes of the committee? Senator Frank?
I would defer to Senator Zaroff if he wants to make a motion.
I would move that we pass out Senate Bill number 322 with individual recommendations.
Any objections?
Along with the accompanying fiscal note.
Hearing none, so ordered. Next item we'll take up is Senate Joint Resolution number 17. Senator Little.
I guess the only question I should have asked is it doesn't have a...
Effective date.
Good question.
I don't know, that may be something that the Finance Committee want to look at there. If that's, I didn't think about it.
Let's send that up as a possible amendment.
Can we send that along?
Sure, we can send that as a possible amendment.
It might be necessary.
It may be.
Yeah. Claire Little.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I really appreciate your consideration of SJR 17. This bill, or this resolution, sends an important and timely message to Congress to retain the current geographic composition of the North Pacific Regional Fisheries Council. It's vital that Alaska retain our voting seats on this council, and vital that Congress receives a very clear, united message that Alaska is opposed to any attempt to weaken our representation on the council. There are many aspects of the Magnuson Act that people may disagree on, but one thing is important and one thing Alaskans can all agree on, and that is that the state has placed the highest priority on retaining the current membership on the membership composition on the council. And fishing groups across Alaska consider this a priority and can unanimously agree on this point. Before you is a proposed CS for SJR 17, and basically these are technical amendments requested by the Department of Fish and Game. It takes out high seas in all respects in the bill and replaces that language with exclusive economic zone. It also removes the word outer in the term outer continental shelf, something the Department of Fish and Game thought was important. Also, the Department of Fish and Game has a zero fiscal note for this legislation. You also have in your packets a more detailed sponsor statement that you may read at your leisure. I will be happy to answer any questions that you have, and I believe that there are Fish and Game people, not sure if they're here. They may be online.
There was one here. I don't know if I think he may be here with this one and the next bill behind
okay,
it.
Okay, well.
I don't anticipate any problems with this particular okay. piece of legislation. There is a person signed up to testify
okay.
on this also. However, I would like to have a motion to adopt the committee substitute. Senator Donnelly.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Hearing no objections, the committee substitute is adopted. Are there any questions for Senator Little? Thank you, Senator Little.
Thank you.
In Kenai Salatna, we have Mr. Warren Flagg to testify on SJR 17.
He's not here right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, heading down on the thing.
Be back pretty quick, I think, but
he's not here now. Okay. Well, if he would like to testify, we could. Otherwise, it would be this chair's intention to move the bill.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Flagg is a representative of the Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Association, KPFA, and they do have a letter of support. I believe it's in your packet.
Yes, I believe we do. Yes, we do have it.
Yeah.
Signed by Mr. Coleman, the president.
Yes.
I don't want to be accused of cutting off public debate, but...
Well, why would you want to change now?
Is there anyone else that in the audience that would like to testify to SJR 17? Hearing none, what is the wish of the committee?
Sure. I just have a question.
Sure.
I'm just wondering, would it be proper to send this also to the Secretary of Commerce, Brown? I don't know.
Actually,
on that.
We do have a couple of additional persons to which we would like to send this resolution, but we were planning on making that amendment in Judiciary.
Oh, sure.
So.
Discuss Judiciary?
Yes.
I do know that it doesn't require to talk about
it. Get all kinds of things go to Judiciary.
Okay. So it's up to you, Senator Little.
I don't recall, but I'll make sure that it is.
Okay. Any? Well, wish of the committee. Senator Lehman.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Resource Committee report out SJR 17, committee substitute for SJR 17 with limited recommendations.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The next item we'll take up is House Bill 232, an act relating to bow hunting and bow hunting safety, and providing for an effective date. The sponsor is not here right now. Or we will recess just for a couple of minutes while they go getting.
No, but we have some questions about the sponsor.
We want you to explain this paragraph down here.
We are back in order.
Budgetary constraint.
Back in order.
It is refreshing to see legislation.
The last bill we have up today is House Bill 232, an act relating to bow hunting and bow safety. Senator Lehman, are we back in order now? Representative Buddy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to present this bill, and I appreciate staff fetching me. And I'm sure you appreciate how refreshing this legislation is. A simple solution to a relatively simple problem. We have in Alaska certain areas that are reserved for bow hunting. In order to hunt in those areas, you must take a bow hunter education class. We had some pretty negative experiences in Anchorage a number of years ago about inexperienced bow hunters that went out in an urban bow hunt, and it was not a good experience
for the animal anyway.
From a public standpoint, and we would like to think that Alaska hunters have a great deal of respect and treat the resource properly. In any case, what we wanted to do is and we found that with this bow hunter education class, the incidence of poorly prepared bow hunters who involved in experiences that cause some adverse publicity has gone way down. The bow hunter education program has been carried on a volunteer basis in cooperation with Fish and Game. Fish and Game provide some of the resources in that, the cards and the scheduling and the place to hold the meetings. The classes themselves are taught by instructors who volunteer and are certified by Fish and Game. What the bow hunters have willingly chosen to do, at least the majority of them, was to support this program not only physically but financially. And to do so, they have are willing to assess themselves a fee, a bow hunter tag, if you will, and these monies are identified then as monies that would go to support the bow hunter education program. Much like the duck stamp program, we understand, of course, there aren't any dedicated funds, but these are monies that the department would understand where they were headed. Perhaps I can stop there. We have the representative from the department. I know you have some folks on teleconference, and at your pleasure, whether you'd like me to answer some questions or if you want to hear the
Thank
other
Thank you. Representative Bundy, are there any questions? Senator Lehman.
Representative Bundy, I think I received one letter or POM, I don't remember which it was, from somebody, I assume he was a bow hunter, who was concerned about this. And at the time I looked into it, and best I can determine, there is broad support for this from bow hunters, and that perhaps was one person who wasn't aware of what was going on, or maybe one person who disagreed. But in your opinion, does this enjoy broad support among bow hunters? And so this maybe is a unique individual who just is opposed to it.
Well, certainly, if there's anybody independently minded in Alaska, it may be the bow hunting community. And so there would be, I would say, the majority of the bow hunters support this. There are conflicting opinions. One group was concerned. The Alaska Bow Hunters Association sent out, much like we would on a constitutional initiative, position statements addressing both sides of the issue. You will hear from one of the authors of the position statement that supports the bow hunter game tag, and I'll let him address that. The other side said, we don't want to be numbered because, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically it said, we don't want to be numbered by buying these tags and have an official number, because we can, in essence, lie to Fish and Game. We can tell them there are more of us when it's to our advantage, and we can tell them there are fewer of us when it's to our advantage. Like I said, they are some independent-minded people out there. in my opinion, the majority of the folks will support this bill.
Thank you. Senator Donnelly.
So basically what this does is authorize the department to adopt some regulations requiring this fee. Doesn't really, it has a schedule, fee schedule, right? But it doesn't say what you're going to have to buy this fee for. I mean, when will a bow hunter have to have this fee? I mean,
to hunt in the
rabbits?
No, to hunt in the archery only areas.
Oh, I see. So it's only if they're doing it in the archery only areas.
You don't have to have bow hunter education unless you hunt in the archery only areas. And if you then hunt in the archery only areas, you need to have bow hunter education and you'll have to have a tag. So like say, if some young kid wants to go hunt a rabbit in the back 40, this would not apply. The bow hunter areas, the Dalton Highway corridor, Fort Rich, Fort Elmendorf, there is a bow hunter only season in Fairbanks. There are relatively small number of places where this applies, but being there are archery only areas, we expect a certain level of expertise before they go in there.
And currently, to get a permit in those areas, you got to take the education course already. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further questions? Hang on. Thank you, Representative Bundy. Go ahead, Senator Zorro.
Now, does this apply statewide, wherever you, I mean, if you go out?
In archery-only areas.
In archery-only, I mean,
if it's a special archery season, then
okay,
it applies.
Is there an archery-only area in Kodiak, for example?
Not that I'm aware of.
So you wouldn't necessarily find these tags there at a sporting shop there that you would have to purchase one of these if you wanted to go out and do bow hunting?
Were you to establish a special area, archery only, then they would come into play.
Then just one other question there. Your this was pointed out, your original bill had a effective date of January 1, 1994.
This has been in the system a while.
So,
yes.
Would the effective date of January 1, 1995
would be more appropriate?
Be appropriate. Okay.
And that would technical amendment.
I would go ahead and take that as a motion. Senators are off to change that to 1995.
So moved.
Is there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. So we'll change the effective date to January 1, 1995. Thank you. We do have Fish and Game in the audience. I think they're here basically to answer questions. Do we have any questions? Getting off easy there, Dave.
Let's make them work a little bit.
We do have some people to testify in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Kenai. I will go to those folks now. It is the intention of the chair to move this piece of legislation today. So with that, I will go to Kenai first, and the first person, if they would go ahead and testify.
My name is Gary Cason, and I represent the Kenai Peninsula Archers. I'm here representing basically 85 families, and we're opposed to this. Mr. Bundy said this is for bow hunting areas only. If you look at page 2, line 7, it says to engage in bow hunting, which would, as written, would mean that if you were going to use a bow in any area, that you'd be required to take this stand. We also feel that there are enough restrictions with the bow hunter education program on bow hunting as it is right now, and that this would be a detriment to our sport unless there was some special season allotted for archery. We also feel that archery pays for its share of the funding of hunter education through the Pittman Roberts Fund. There is 11% excise tax on all archery equipment, and so we're opposed to this stand.
Thank you. Mr. Bill Curtis?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. I am here also to represent myself as a citizen concerned about this. I am opposed to
Thank you, Mr. Curtis. And Mr. Don Poole?
Yes, my name is Don Poole. I'm here in Salina. In regard to boarding license legislation, personally, I'm against this as an unnecessary expense. And I'm also very concerned that the income generated from this would be used for general fund and not earmarked for boating related matters. As president of the Alaskan Boat Hunters, I would like to state that the association is split on the matter and decided to take a neutral stance. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in Kenai Salatina to testify? I only had three people down.
That's all we are.
Great, thank you. With that, we will go to Fairbanks. And the first person there.
Yeah, my name is Kevin Worthick. I'm president of the Gold North Archer Association. I'm testifying on behalf of it. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 232. Mr. Bundy introduced this bill in the legislature at the urging of bull hunters statewide because he believes the bill is good. Both the general membership and the board of directors of Golden North Archery Association have voted overwhelmingly to support it. It is further supported by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. John Matthews, the Alaska State Hunter Education Coordinator, enthusiastically supports it, adding that it will be beneficial to the current international bow hunting education program. The majority of the hunters statewide care about education, ethics, wildlife conservation, are willing to contribute financially to those values. Local bull hunters will oppose this bill because they would rather keep their $7 and have the state continue to pay for hunting wildlife management and education programs. Currently, there are a number of bull hunting only areas and seasons within the state, with bull hunters being the sole benefactor. Most bull hunters realize this and want to contribute to that use. There has also been some confusion on the Alaska Bull Hunters Association's position on this bill. And I'd like to say, to make it clear, that at the Alaska Bull Hunters General Membership meeting, their members were asked to vote on this issue, and they voted overwhelmingly to support it. And that's been recorded in the minutes of the Alaska Bull Hunters from that meeting. The ABA's board of directors, however, has been somewhat inconsistent on this issue, and they have flip-flopped between support and non-support, and as John just testified, they're currently in a neutral stance. A recent letter that they did write, they do say in that letter that they will not actively oppose this bill. There are some folks that do try to misrepresent this position, so it was nice to hear Don testifying here to kind of make that a real clear issue. In short, from the voters around the state that have voted in various opportunities, the majority of them have voted to support the bill is beneficial because it brings in additional revenues to the state. It's beneficial to fish and game by contributing to wildlife management and education programs. And it's beneficial to bow hunters by sending a clear message that bow hunters care about supporting bow hunting, ethics, and wildlife conservation. The Golden North Archery Association and its members want you to know that they bow hunt, they vote, and they support HB 232. I'd like to add one thing. There might be a little bit of confusion, at least from what I understand this bill is doing. It's very mandatory the license. Actually, this bill is adding two things to the current regulations. One is it's going to require a $7 archery tag, which, as our understanding, is going to be mandatory anywhere you hunt with a bow and arrow. The other part of this bill is it's going to mandate that the state have a bow hunter education program. The intent of the bill was to help direct these funds towards that program. Now, the program, the education program, is not a mandatory program. It is only mandatory in those areas where there is a bow hunting only area. The actual license fee itself, collecting the $7, would be necessary out of anybody that wants to go bow hunting in the state. We do feel, though, that's an advantageous thing to have, and it will definitely help the education process. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Rick Shakora?
Yes, I'm Rick Shakora. I appreciate the committee hearing House Bill 232. I'm here to speak in favor of the House bill. I'm not afraid to pay the $7 to provide the possibility of additional archery hunting seasons in areas, and an accurate count of bull hunters is not something to be feared. I think that a stamp is not as valuable as a license in this respect, but it's a good step in the right direction. There are large areas of the state that could have archery seasons without significant made to the Board of Game. They don't have a good feel for the numbers, so they're basically unwilling to accept archery-only seasons and that kind of thing. So I think having the numbers is a good thing. I should point out from that Ken is president of the Gold Mark Archery Association. That association has 170 primary members plus another 150 family members, spouses, and children that he's speaking for. I also believe, after seeing as an IBEP instructor and participating in that program, and seeing some bull hunters out in the field, that bull hunting safety and education is a good idea. And I believe that you should vote in favor of the bull hunting stamp.
Thank you. Next is Dennis Goldback.
This is Dennis Goldback. I'm opposed to the bill. Indirectly, basically, it's a tag / stamp to be going onto the hunting license as I read it in the proposal, much like the waterfall. To me, this brings about more hunting violations within the state. For example, the salmon stamp has been out for several years. And because my business people still don't know about the salmon stamp, where you need it, etc. It talks about, initially in the conversation, it talks about where the stamp is only going to be used in archery-only areas. But I go along with what Keenline had to say in Sedona, where between lines 7 and 8, it talks about all throughout the whole state. So I'm looking at hunting violations from people that's where the stamps aren't easily accessible. Or people just do not know about it. The marketing of the stamp, the producing of the stamp, the marketing, distributorship, paying the people to sell the stamp, is not going to be that much money left over to the state to be used for where it's set. Talks about being used for range, obtaining range funds, etc. To my knowledge, no state funds have been used to upgrade and maintain any archery ranges within the state. I don't see no physical gain received by buying just the stamp as such, the way that's stated in the proposal. I think there's a lot more room for improvements on it, and as it reads, I see a lot of loopholes in it. Thank you.
Thank you. And the last person there in Fairbanks to testify, please.
Yes, my name is Harry Lewis. I'm originally from South Carolina, North Carolina. And down here, they do have a longer hunting season without the stamp, or even a tag. They also have what's called doe day, or either sex days. I've noticed that since I've been here the last, which is 7 years, they don't even have a doe or a cow day. I know that archers put out a lot more energy and effort to even stop game than rifle hunters do. If the stamp, if it was to go through, since I'm a bow hunter, I'd have to buy the tag anyway. If I did, I might put down $7 because those go for preservation of our wildlife. It's just that we should have more benefits as bow hunters than rifle hunters do. Since we've got to put the stalks on closer, a lot of times we only have that opportunity because of rifle hunters. I think our season should be extended a little bit longer than what it is. 15 days, 30 days, sometimes it's not enough. A lot of people can't get out maybe on the weekend or something like that to hunt, especially the bow hunter. Rifle hunters have got great advantage over us. I don't really like that opportunity to, well, if I hunt with a rifle, which I do sometimes, then I've got that advantage over a bow hunter. But bow hunters are at a disadvantage all over the world, not the rifle hunters. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we will go to Anchorage. Do we have anyone there in Anchorage to testify on 232?
Yes, we do.
Okay, if you just go ahead and state your name and any organization, if you're representing any organization.
Hi, my name is Ed Russell. I represent myself. I faxed down my testimony, and I hope you received it.
I'm not sure if we've received it or not. But if you want to just go ahead and we're checking right now, but if you want to go ahead and just
okay,
highlight that.
I'll leave off my pedigree up top and just go to my reasons for opposition. stamp serves no useful purpose in the management of game in Alaska. Number two, the archery stamp will not generate enough income to pay for the printing, distribution, and notification of potential archery hunters that would require the stamp. In my opinion, the state may sell up to 1,000 archery stamps, which amount to only $7,000. There's no way that's going to pay for printing, distribution, and some sort of publicity campaign. Without an extensive and costly publicity campaign like the state had with the King Salmon stamp and the Duck stamp, the potential for hunter and enforcement conflicts would be very high. The possibility of creating unnecessary tension between the hunting public and the enforcement division without good reason is bad for wildlife management in general. The state currently has several methods of determining the number of archers in the field in areas that are specifically managed for archery-only hunts. Most of the areas are drawing permit or registration hunts that the department requires the hunter to return a survey card, whether successful or not. The popularity of these hunts can be measured by the number of archers that apply for drawing permits or register for the hunts. A representative number of the archery hunters statewide can be determined by the bow hunter education course that have been given over the last 10 years. Basically, that's the gist of my testimony. Just to add something here, I don't believe that the bow hunter should be charged a surtax for hunting, and that's basically what this thing is, just a straight surtax, gentlemen.
Thank you. The next person in Anchorage, please.
My name is Phil Pringle. I've been a resident of the state of Alaska for 16 years. I've been a member of the Alaskan Bow Hunters for 14 years. I've been a five-year member of the Anchorage Advisory Committee for Fish and Game, and I'm a master instructor for the Bow Hunter Education Program that's in place by Fish and Game now. I'm totally against the bill passing, but when the idea was first proposed to me, I was in favor of it until I had time to sit back and think about it. And after learning that the revenue generated would not offset the cost for the state for implementing and maintaining the plan, and that we already have an education course in place, I see no benefit to be gained by anyone. The $7 stamp, I don't feel is even an issue. I have yet to talk to a bow hunter or anybody that would object to paying $7. I don't see that as an issue at all. And as Ed mentioned, I think the headcount given to the IBD courses that have been handled for the last 10 years gives a real good evaluation of how many hunters or bow hunters that we have in the state of Alaska. I'm totally against it. House Bill 232. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person, please.
Yeah, my name is George Moreline. I'm a 33 resident. Year resident of Anchorage, and I've been a bow hunter for about the last 40 years. I'm a former director of the Alaskan Bow Hunters Association and was on the board of the Pope and Young Club for over 20 years. And the Pope and Young Club is an international bow hunting organization which promotes fair chase hunting with a bow and arrow and is akin to the Boone and Crockett Club. Ladies and gentlemen, I think House Bill 232 has absolutely no redeeming features, either for the state or for the bow hunting community. At $7 per tag, this bill will generate an estimated $7,000 to $10,000 a year for the state. This amount will not cover the cost of administration plus the cost of developing and operating the low hunting safety programs that are mandated by the bill. The bill will cost the state money and this and they'll afford additional expenses. So far as bow hunters go, why does the privilege of bow hunting in Alaska cost bow hunters $7 more than anybody else? Why? Especially in as much as bow hunters harvest far fewer animals on a per hunter basis than do those who are hunting with firearms. I think it's a totally unfair bill. I'm not going to repeat the many other arguments you've already heard against the bill, but to summarize, it's unfair to bow hunters, and it's no significant value to bow hunters. It will cost the state money. You will kill it, committee. As a final comment, I'd like to say I don't think Mr. Bundy knows what any of the bill, because it states very specifically on page 2 under line 7, 8, and 9 that anybody who hunts anywhere in the state needs to buy a bow hunting tag unless you're under 16 or et cetera. Thank you.
I'd also like to tell Mr. Russell that we do have his testimony. We have received it, and it has been passed out to every member of the committee.
Okay, fine. I was going to say also my name and address and phone numbers are up there. If you'd like to call for any further questions, just feel free.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in Anchorage that would like to testify?
No.
Okay, thank you. With that, I think Mr. Bundy should probably come back, and if we could have Mr. Kellyhouse from Fish and Game to answer some of the questions that have been brought up, and I think some of the committee members now have questions about this particular piece of legislation. Mr. Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To address one issue first, I'm reading off two pages of music at the same time. One version would have people engaged in bow hunting in special areas and special bow hunting seasons purchase a tag. The other version has all bow hunters in the state. And
the version we have has all bow hunters.
Yes. Like I said, it's been a year, I apologize for the confusion. I would ask Mr. Kellyhouse to address some of the questions. Concern about the bow hunters not getting anything for the tag. You know, the bow hunters do have more opportunity to hunt than rifle hunters now. They have seasons that are not available to rifle hunters. But be that as may, more importantly, I would like Mr. Kellyhouse to address the notion as to whether there would be any net gain, any funds generated from this, and to whether where the money would go that was generated.
Thank you, Mr. Kellyhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The costs of administering the program would be proportional to how many tags were sold. The primary cost would be $1 per tag sold to the vendor, whoever sold the tag, and that would come off the $7. The other is 5% of the value of the tag, which is a much lesser amount. That would leave the remainder of the money going into the Fish and Game Fund. I noticed the fiscal note that's attached to this. One of the people that testified, I see where they misunderstood that the money would go into the general fund. My understanding is revenues from the bow hunting tag would go into the Fish and Game Fund, and all vendor payments now, as a result of legislative action last year, all vendor payments are now being paid with Fish and Game funds. Ever since statehood, vendor payments were paid out of general funds, but the legislature made a funding shift last year, so that would come out of Fish and Game funds. The short answer is I do believe that the program could be revenue positive.
Okay, thank you. The other question is, since this particular piece of legislation is addressing bow hunting throughout the state, what would be the change, say, if the legislation was amended to just address bow hunting in those areas that we allow bow hunting, or only bow hunting? Like,
Mr. Chairman, I really couldn't say, because some of the bow hunting only areas, you don't have to have a drawing permit or anything. I don't have those figures in front of me. I could go back and see if we could generate those numbers for you. A great many of the bow hunters are from the urban areas, and most of the bow hunting only areas, the special areas and seasons, are around the urban areas, Fairbanks Management Area, Fort Richardson, and those kind of hunts, and the Dalton Highway Corridor north of Fairbanks. I would expect that a relatively high percentage of the state's bow hunters would take advantage of the special season so that they didn't have to compete with rifle hunters at the same time in the same place. But if you'd like, Mr. Chairman,
I guess what I'm asking, would it still be a positive revenue to the Fish and Game Fund, even if it was?
Mr. Chairman, I believe it would be revenue positive because the cost of administering the program would be proportional to the number of licenses sold. The only staff time that would be dedicated to this would be a month of clerk typist, or even less. If there were a fewer number of tags sold, it would take even less time. And then the payments to the vendors are proportional, directly proportional to the number of tags sold.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Senator Blumen.
Representative Bundy, you referred to another version of the bill, and
It would involve an amendment to the version you have on page 2, line 7. A person may not engage in bow hunting, and the amendment then would read, add the words, in special bow hunting areas or seasons.
Okay, this is just something like a working copy that you have. It wasn't a committee substitute.
That's correct.
All right.
Could you give us that language again?
Page 2, line 7. A person may not engage in bow hunting in a special bow hunting area or season.
Okay, in a special bow hunting area or season.
I'll move that amendment.
Okay. Is there any objection to that amendment?
I just have a question. Is it necessary to put or season in there? I mean, if you're going to have a specially bow hunting area, obviously you're going to have a season.
Yeah, if I might answer, Mr. Chairman, there are, or they have been in the past, and I have some hopes of the future, if we can lean on the department a little bit, of special bow hunting seasons. For instance, on the Kenai, they did have a special, I believe it was 3-day pre-rifle season that was archery only.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I don't object to that. In fact, or season there is a little bit more explicit. I mean, if you don't have a season and somebody happens to be in their target practicing or just hunting, I guess they're out of the season, then they don't necessarily have to have the tag. Is that correct?
That would be correct, Mr. Chairman, Senator Zara. The idea is, as Representative Bundy said, in the past there have been special seasons like a special postseason or a special preseason in a general hunting area. And during that special privileged time when only bow hunters can be present, the way I read this amendment, it would require a tag at that time and in that area that's specially designated by the Board of Game as a bow hunting only season. And that applies on the record only to regular bow and arrows, not crossbows or anything like that. Our regulations require that only normal archery tackle be used during special bow hunting seasons.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might, Senator Zaroff said something about practicing or you know, just out shooting for bow and arrow for fun. There's certainly a difference between that and as a legal definition of hunting, you know, actively attempting to take game, and there wouldn't be any requirement for a tag for someone who just wander through the woods and shoot at stumps.
The bow hunting version of plinking?
Yes.
I guess what I was trying to get there is that you may have areas where you have overlapping, right? I mean, the hunting season opens October 1 in a large area for a particular species, and at that point you can have just, you know, any weapon that's usable, I mean allowed to hunt, and maybe from November 1st to November 15th you may have an area sectioned out of this entire area that may be just designated as bow hunting only. And that would be the only time there that you would be required to have the bow hunting stamp in that area. Is that the way I understand that?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Senator, to use an example that is currently exists, the Dalton Highway corridor is 5 miles on either side of the road, bow hunting only area. If you go 6 miles, you could hunt with a bow or a rifle and not need a tag. If you're within 5 miles, you need a tag. Obviously, you know, the who will walk the 5 miles, but the vast majority of bow hunters hunt within the 5 mile corridor.
Is there objections to the amendment?
Can we have that amendment again?
It would be a person may not engage in bow hunting in a special bow hunting area or season without having a current year's bow license. So it'd be between hunting and without in a special bow hunting area or season. Is there any objection to that amendment? Senator Donnelly.
I just want to be real specific about it. I don't want, like, 10 years from now somebody to decide we're going to start issuing this license for season, you know, rather than, you know, because you've said special bow hunting area and then or season, is it a special season, special bow hunting season also, you know? I'm wondering if we need drafters to just
special area or bow hunting area or bow hunting season.
We could add
I think Mr. Chairman, why don't we're going to need to get a CS prepared anyway.
Sure.
We send it down to the drafters with instruction that's our intent and
make it real specific. Yes.
Okay
have them tighten it up.
Okay we'll be our intention is to send that to the drafter and get it back as a CS. And we will take a look at it then. probably on Monday. We will roll this to Monday. We'll put it on the schedule as the first item of business on Monday.
You can send it on as a CS, but
Well, I think people would like to look at it, and then it would be my intention to move it Monday then. And then it goes to judiciary, and Senator Donnelly can take a look at it there again.
Okay.
So with that, is there any other committee business?
What did you do with 17?
We passed out 17, and we passed out 322.
Okay. Thank you.
Hang on. Recess is adjourned.